brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. This is Made Man Bob. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Wrong. There is now this thing called Netflix, and I have HBO Max now, Disney Plus, streaming services, Bob. And I'm not doing an ad, but you guys can send us some money. I'm all for you. I like this whole streaming thing. And the whole Netflix and chill thing, I tried that with my wife. She turned on the AC. That's not what I was looking for.
My guess is he's just up at night, you know, looking at dirty pictures on the internet. But
yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Made Man Bob.
You're the best non-streaming thing at 2 a.m.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is Made Man Bob. And joining me today are good old gal Denise.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here again.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Bob. I love the damp.
The bourbon mafia's gotten his brain.
Basement today. It's just all the little vines, the Bacchus theme, the grapes.
It's like the Jungle Cruise ride at Disney World.
Thank you for making it so warm and homey.
And good old boy Harmeet.
Thank you for having me, Bob. I really love the vats of grapes. Do I have to stomp on them or can I just lie in them and roll around?
You're a complete bastard and we all hate you.
Yeah. Just saying. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else that you can drink. Today's sip episode is all about wine, and today we're going to be discussing the following wines. We have the Bella Union Sauvignon Blanc 2019.
Yummy.
We have the Diatom Bar M Vineyard Chardonnay 2019.
Also yummy.
We have the Brewer Clifton 2017 Pinot Noir.
I'm going to wax rhapsodic.
From Numanthia, we have the 2017 Termes.
I'm not going to say anything about that.
We have the Bella Union 2017 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon.
Denise will wax rhapsodic. Mm.
The Bella Union 2018 Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon and the Don Melchor 2018.
And I'm glad you pronounced that correctly.
So we're going to have Harm tell us all about our sips ratings.
Well, thank you, Bob. I would like to tell you all about our sips ratings. As he said, we're going to be tasting and discussing these wines, rating them with these sips with our signature sounds. You have your finger on the button, Bob?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you.
Yeah, finger out of your pocket, Bob. Different button. Hear those ratings down. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
One sip wines make me angry.
They're not right.
He's like a really bad method actor.
There's no method to this.
You want me to start calling you Mr. Lincoln as you walk around? Yeah.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this one a secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
It's radio. You kind of have to speak up.
That's classified.
We have sound engineers. Five sips. Oh, my. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Is that all right? Having a good sandwich, is that what that sound is?
Yeah.
Like I've never heard of
it. You can go to Espada's and you get one of those really big footlong Italians. Yeah.
I thought that was Katz's Deli there, dude.
No. It's better Espada's. All right. So we're going to have Maury tell us all about our first wine. So take it away.
Thank you, Bob. First wine is the Bella Union Sauvignon Blanc 2019. It's the DeCarl Vineyard in Rutherford, Napa Valley, coming in at blank percent ABV.
We say blank because we couldn't find it on the bottle.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't find it. So
I couldn't find it online.
Fill in the blank.
Is it even legal?
See, you think I missed that. I left it there because I couldn't find it.
Oh, no. It's here, dude.
It is?
You need a magnifier.
Really tiny?
Magnifying glass. It's 14.3.
Thank you, sir.
What is that? I do need a magnifying glass.
That's close enough. Thank you.
It's over 14.
It's over 14.
Let me tell you about Bell Union. Bell Union was established in 2012 by the partners of Napa Valley's Farniente and Nickel & Nickel Wineries. And it is situated on a 25-acre Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard along the storied Bella Oaks Lane in Rutherford. The name Bella Union is a nod to the history of Bella Oaks Lane, which was known as the Bella Union Roadway in the 1880s. At that time, the country lane led into Mayakamas Mountains and eventually to the Bella Union Mining Company. Brooke Babiak became head winemaker in 2021 after previously serving as assistant winemaker for Bella Union and Nickel & Nickel. Before joining the Farniente family team, Brooke held positions at Stag's Leap Winery, Hall Family Wines, Jordan Vineyard and Winery, Church Road Winery in New Zealand, and at Tenuta del Vagiano in Tuscany. She gets around.
It's impressive.
In 2019,
that means what you think it means.
No, I know what it means. You're the one with the mind in the gutter. The 2019 is the inaugural vintage of the Bella Union Sauvignon Blanc and comes from the DeCarl Vineyard, which are situated at the toe of an alluvial fan that extends from the western Mayakamas Range.
What part is the toe of an alluvial fan?
The point where it starts.
The toe is the point.
Yeah.
Isn't that the pivot?
No.
If you have a Japanese fan, where that's the toe is where it starts?
Is this Japan? No, be quiet.
Thank you.
Go sit in the corner.
The soil is comprised of fluvial river deposits and gravelly clay, which are well draining. Now that's a mouthful. Alluvial fans and fluvial river deposits. Let's talk about the color.
Fluvial river deposits?
The color is a very pale straw, almost colorless. On the nose, it is dominated by white peach, more white peach.
And more white peach.
More white peach.
Yeah.
Followed by some citrus and tropical fruit. On the palate, it's light. It's bright. It's fruit forward. It's got some nice balance. It's got a medium finish. It's really a delightful wine. It's really a very nice, easy drinking, all day Sauvignon Blanc. It doesn't stand out in any one direction, but it's just pleasant, easygoing, and quite enjoyable. I liked it quite a lot. Denise, what did you think of it?
You know, I'm not the world's biggest Sauvignon Blanc fan.
But
this is very nice. It's pleasant. I enjoy drinking it. In addition to the peaches, I got a really crisp green apple on the nose.
You're right about that, but I found the peaches overpowered.
I don't get the apple.
I got the apple.
You get the apple?
Especially when it was colder.
When it was colder.
Now that it's been sitting in the glass, it's warmed up a little bit.
Granny Smith. Peach and peach fuzz.
But, like a Granny Smith apple, that tartness.
It was definitely more prominent when it was ice cold.
Yeah, well, but on the palate, you get the tartness. So you get a slight tart.
Until you said green apple, I don't get the green apple.
Mash of citrus, which is really good. And it's got a nice finish. It's a little short, but it's a nice finish.
Yeah, but what can you expect for a entry-level Sauvignon Blanc?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time they've made one, right?
Yeah. It's nice. I think it's an excellent effort for their first inaugural release. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Bellini in a glass. I mean, it's like white peach on white peach on white peach, and it's got that little tartness of the apple. It's not your typical Sauvignon Blanc. I'm really digging it. I think it's really well made, and I think for their first effort out, you know, it just shows what they can do. I mean, excellent wine.
I loved the mouthfeel. It was very silky on the mouthfeel, and when it was colder, I thought the fruit was too restrained, but as it was warmed up, it's really coming out.
Yeah.
It's just all peach. And the tropical fruit, I can't figure out what tropical fruit is. It's not mango. It's not pineapple.
But you know it's tropical fruit.
It's tropical.
Yeah.
It's not bananas.
Nope.
Nope.
So.
Not passion fruit, that's for sure. It's just some things in
fruit
there.
Fruit stripe gum.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, fruit stripe gum. Yeah, that's kind of fruity. Yeah.
That's jackfruit. Fruit stripe and juicy fruit are flavored with jackfruit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I learned that from some friends who actually
grow. I never knew that.
Interesting.
Well, you learned something today.
Yeah.
It's like being on the PBS After School Special.
It's so true.
All right. So we're going to be rating the Bella Union Sauvignon Blanc 2019, De Carl Vineyard, Rutherford Valley, 14 point something we can't read ABV.
14.1. I read it. I used the
magnifying
feature on my phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's messed up.
We're going to be rating it a well-deserved 3 sips. Well done, guys. So we're going to be going on to our next wine, which is from the folks at Brewer Clifton. Brewer Clifton wines can trace their origins back to 1995, where Greg Brewer and Steve Clifton met while working on a committee serving in the Santa Barbara Vineyards Association.
Vintners.
In 1996, after saving a modest $12,000 for their first project, they were able to secure food contracts to produce an inaugural 240 cases of wine within the Santa Barbara winery, where Greg held a role as an assistant winemaker. Always having their sights locked in on an area that they would personally map later and define as the Santa Rita Hills, they utilized relationships in the neighboring Santa Maria Valley for the majority of their fruit as vineyards were being developed closer to home. After brief periods being housed within other wineries, Brewer Clifton created their first standalone facility in 2000. That same year, the Santa Rita Hills was identified and approved as an American viticultural area. In 2012, it marked the first vintage where all the fruit was produced and hailed from the estate vineyards within the Santa Rita Hills appellation. And that same year, the Wine Spectator deemed the 2012 Santa Rita Hills Pinot Noir as the number 8 wine of the year. So our first wine from Brewer Clifton is the Diatom M Bar M Vineyards Chardonnay 2019. It's 14.5% ABV. It's named after the prehistoric plankton fossils that are mined in the area for several decades,
which we use for pool filters.
Yep. The Diatom Bar M Vineyard is sourced from the blocks of clone 76 Chardonnay planted over 20 years ago in the Los Alamos region of Santa Barbara County. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about the Diatom Bar and Vineyard Chardonnay 2019. We were talking a little bit about how it's made. The fermentation is done on this wine at a very low temperature in small stainless steel tanks coupled with an inhibited malolactic fermentation. So the color on it is a slightly golden straw.
What are you talking about? Are you?
Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm, you know why?
Because you're looking at your Pinot.
I'm looking at the next wine. I'm so excited. Go ahead.
So on the nose, sweet orange blossoms with a dusty mineral note. Mm.
Definitely those diatoms coming out, right?
And on the palate, green apple, huge amounts of lime. Huge, huge lime. And it's got just a really nice earthiness to it. Again, I think it's the terroir coming through. I mean, this is growing in a dusty valley full of diatomaceous earth. So I think it's reflecting where it's coming from. It's got a really nice minerality to it.
I know it's diatomaceous, but I almost get like a chalky thing on the nose.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, more like pool absolutely lovely. Yeah, I mean, this is not your typical, you know, Napa Valley buttery sticky Chardonnay.
No.
But absolutely beautiful. What do you think, Denise?
Well, in addition to the minerality, I get this little, you know, hidden note of, I can't really identify it, but for me, I'm a big craft beer drinker, so sometimes the hops or the hoppiness or the hempiness will jump out, and that's actually what I get.
Yeah,
and I really like that, actually. So I like when I can identify that.
I don't think it came out when the wine was cooler. It's just
now that
much
it's warmed
more
up.
Pronounced now.
Absolutely.
It's warm.
And it's not a vegetal, green vegetal. It's more a dried out kind of brown, dried
herby kind of thing.
I disagree with that. I think it's more green.
Yeah.
It's got to be more green.
Really?
It's not easy being green.
But the palate's really nice.
No, it's not brown.
Sage? Is that sage?
No.
It's not brown.
I get a nice crisp lime.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, that's what I get. It's nice. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. As it's warmer. When it was cold, I didn't get this at all. But it's chalky. And what do you think about the finish on this, Denise?
Soft and short. You had a mouthful there.
I had a mouthful of wine that almost went spraying across the table because she's like making eye contact with me. That's just wrong.
What? The soft and short?
Soft and short.
Listen, that's on you, Harm. That's okay. Right. I didn't.
It's getting personal, Denise.
Yeah, please don't encourage him.
Don't make eye contact with Harm.
What'd you think, Maury?
Well, I agree with most of what's been said. I thought this was a lovely wine. It is different than my traditional style of Chardonnay in that it's not oaky and buttery. There's a little hint of butter in there. I mean, it's definitely not forward with this, since they've really gone to length.
Yeah, they
said
they've inhibited the malolactic, but I don't think
it's not zero. It's not zero.
Yeah.
Definitely a palate dominated by the green apple and the lime. Again, this really is reminiscent of a Sauv Blanc. It's a Sauv Blanc drinker's Chardonnay in that stainless steel from fermentation, bright flavors.
It's not an oak bomb.
It's not an oak bomb. It's not a butter bomb. It's definitely a summer white. It could definitely be, as Denise would say, a quaffing wine out by the pool for the day. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was really well made. I was pleasantly surprised.
Buttery, oaky, stereotypical Chardonnay. I'm excited to see something that's different.
Yeah, I know. I like that a lot.
The last four or five years, I'm seeing more wine that the California winemakers have pulled back from that, thank God.
Yeah.
We used to call that stuff back in the day cougar juice. The big butter bombs with tons of oak. Literally, it was called cougar juice in the business. It wasn't a compliment.
Harm, keep your sexual preferences off of the show.
It's not
much.
Cougar juice.
I'm of that age. They're my age too. Anyway.
Well, anyway, so
the wine I think was very well made, and Denise was and I were talking off the air, and we were talking about I would prefer Sauvignon Blanc with raw oysters.
That's not entirely true. Denise hasn't talked to him off the air.
I prefer Sauvignon Blanc.
No, this would be beautiful with oysters.
But this Chardonnay is made for oysters. This is gorgeous.
This is an oyster shard. They ought to rename it the Oyster Shard.
Oysters Bienville or some. Some oysters Rockefeller.
Rockefeller would do well.
Bienville might be better because the green note. So Bienville's got chopped spinach, and I think that goes great with this.
So does the Rockefeller.
But Rockefeller's got the Pernod and something else.
Yeah.
Bienville is bacon.
Well,
bacon and
now we're spinach. Off on an oyster tangent.
Next time we're here, I expect some fresh oysters. To
now
go
we're
with
off
the
on an oyster
wines.
Tangent here. So
give me some Pernod.
Anyway, getting back to wine. We're going to be rating the Diatom Bar M Vineyard Chardonnay 2019 in extremely well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Lovely wine. So we're going to see if Harm can actually make it through this one. You think you can take us into the next one?
Well, I'm going to talk about the wine I've been waiting to talk about all evening, all morning, early morning hours, whatever.
I'll be taking a nap.
Yeah, me too.
This is the Brewer Clifton 2017 Pinot Noir, 14.5% ABV. A blend is comprised.
It's compromised.
I've been compromised.
So is this show now.
Yeah, this show's been compromised.
We've all been compromised.
The blend is comprised of the 3D, the Machado, and Hapsgood vineyards. The 3D vineyard is a sandy 10-acre vineyard planted primarily in Chardonnay with a smaller field of Pinot Noir planted to Swan, Pommard, and the 667 clones. Machado Vineyard is a 15-acre parcel of rolling terrain adjacent to Clos Pepe and immediately behind the Kessler Hawk Vineyard with sandy clay and loam soils. That's great drainage. And we have a small 2.5 acre parcel of Hapgood Vineyard. It was planted in 2010 with the Mary Edward clone Pinot Noir grape, which I freaking love, by the way. And making this wine, they practice whole cluster fermentation and use neutral oak barrels. And I also like that. Whole cluster Pinot Noir, when you do this whole cluster fermentation, you're going to get a lot of the stem. You're going to get more tannic background from them, the stems and the skins. You get more spice coming out of your Pinot Noir. And the neutral oak barrel allows the wine to shine rather than the oak. Color is a beautiful translucent ruby. There is nothing added to this. Most people, when they think about Pinot Noir, they think about really dark red wine. And that's the dirty little secret of California Pinot Noir, is they adulterate their wine with, it's compromised, if you will, with Grenache or Syrah, generally Syrah, or Bernarda, which adds sweetness and deep, rich color to this. But you should be able to read through your Pinot Noir. It should be translucent. It's gorgeous. This is the translucent 100% Pinot Noir. On the nose, I get tons of cranberry, a little bit of pomegranate, huge white tea and citrus. They have raspberry in their notes, which I don't really get, but
the citrus is a little bit in the background as
well. Yeah, it's like a lemony white tea thing going, a little bit of peach, a little bit of pomegranate, lots of pomegranate, and on the end, I get rose petals, roses, and a little hint of tar. On the palate, the black fruit, which is the dried
tar?
Fig.
He said tar.
Tar. Like a petrol note, yeah. Mm. It's a minerality. So dried figs and ripe cherries and cloves on the palate.
Cloves?
And cloves. This is clove, dude. Smell that. Taste that.
You can just shove it up your nose.
Did you get it in your nose?
He's snorting it. That's a new way.
Yeah. So to on enjoy the palate, it. It's all about cloves.
It's the Tony Montana
Pinot Noir. The dried figs. The finish is clove and truffle and cinnamon, and it's medium long. I love this freaking wine. Tell me why I'm wrong, Denise, because I know you don't like this.
No, this is lovely.
Really? I thought you didn't like it at first.
No, I like it, but I'm getting completely different notes. So,
yeah, really? I'm wondering what he's drinking.
No.
Or smoking.
What are you smoking, Arm?
On the nose, I just cannot identify the white tea. And as crazy as this sounds, it's like, oh, wow.
I identify white tea because normally I don't like white tea.
Right.
But with this pomegranate and the spice, I freaking love it.
When's the last time you had a cup of white tea?
About 2 weeks ago at my mom's house.
But she when I first nosed this wine, I thought, wow, that's what my hair smells like the night after I've been around a campfire. Which is really strange because I'm not. So let me just explain. It's not smoky. It's not burnt. It's just this nice, subtle. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, wow, that was a really good night because I'm brushing my hair and I can get this little hint of something. So
is that the white tea?
Immediately, I was like, ticks. That's what my hair smells like the night after a campfire.
I smell like I have Lyme disease.
And I get the salinity. That's what I get on the nose. I'm sorry. And the finish is really great. It's got a little bit of pepper for me on the finish. I don't know where that comes from. It does have a medium finish for me, but I get a little pepper.
I'll give you white pepper.
Okay.
But to me, it's more cloves.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get cloves at all. I would agree with Denise. It was more pepper.
When do you eat cloves? I make Indian food. I cook Indian food.
He eats a lot of Indian food. I eat a lot of cloves
and I eat a lot of Indian food.
All right.
And you've never cooked Indian food for me.
He's smoking those clove cigarettes.
You don't cook anyway. It's your mother that does all the cooking.
My mother does the cooking now because I live in Florida. I lived in New Orleans.
I'm going to have to talk to Jasmine about putting together a meal for us.
Would be Indian food.
Well, I don't know how you could have lived in New Orleans and you think that anything doesn't, that Chardonnay didn't go well with grilled oysters because that's the only way to eat an oyster.
I prefer Sauvignon Blanc with oysters, but this.
Grilled oysters.
We didn't talk about grilled oysters.
It's the only way to eat an oyster.
Raw oysters are good too. And Bienville and Rockefeller and Black and Blue. There's a lot of ways to do oysters. Ever Black and Blue oysters? Black and Blue oysters are grilled with blue cheese and Cajun garlic sauce.
Oh, you're ruining them.
Yes. No.
Overwhelming them and overpowering them.
We're going to go get some.
Who makes them?
If I didn't have to go to work later, I'd be going to
where?
You could get black and blue oysters in New Orleans, but also down here.
Oh, yeah, let's just hop in there.
Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale, in Wilton Manors, you can go to Shuck and Dive. You got to send me some money for this promotion.
I've been to Shuck and Dive. I've not had the
black and blue oysters.
It's not in Wilton Manors. It's in Fort Lauderdale.
No, it's right in Wilton Manors. It's right at the edge. 100%. It's at the end of Wilton Manors.
No. Well, anyway.
The sign says, welcome to Wilton Manors, and then there's a restaurant.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. Bob, what do you think about the wine, dude?
Always wandering around, bumping into walls. It's got a Webley nose.
I bought a new Roomba.
It's very floral. It's got some red fruit to it. Definitely get the white tea. And on the palate, huge, huge, big cherries. Mm.
As I smell it now, remember I was talking about the figs on the palate? There's the cherries are coming out as it warms up.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely a beautiful wine. I can't really think of anything they could do to make it better other than ship us a case. So,
you know, Brewer Clifton, we've had their Sauv Blanc and this Pinot, but they're really known for their Chard. I love their freaking Chard. You guys need to send us some Chard.
Well, we're going to be rating the Brewer Clifton 2017 Pinot Noir a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
It's a wine, because it's a wine.
Are we still on the air?
Wine, yeah.
Are we still on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. Well, let's see what we can do with this. Well, founded in 1998, Bodega Numancia, located in Valdefinhas, Castile and León, in the Toro region in the northwest of Spain. And you gentlemen can correct any pronunciation for me.
Move along, Douglas.
Bodega Numancia's vineyard is composed of 494 acres of vines in the communes of Toro, Morales de Toro, Valdefinhas, Venealbo, El Pego, Argujillo. Oh, wow, that was a mouthful. The Toro region has a longstanding tradition in winemaking and viticulture, dating back to Roman times. During the Middle Ages, Toro wines were also the first in the world to travel to the Americas, carried on Christopher Columbus's ships in 1492. Some of the vines on their estate are reaching up to 150 years old.
Yummy, yummy. I have had some of those.
So, Termes by Numancia, 2017. 100% Tinta de Toro grapes, a clone of Tempranillo from vines ranging from 30 to 50 years old. With 4 days of old maceration and 7 days of fermentation, with pumping over 1 to 2 times per day.
I think that should be cold maceration.
Yeah, it's cold.
What did I say? Old?
You're old.
Oh.
And when you say pumping over, say it like pumping over.
Oh, with pumping over 1 to 2 times per day. Aged for 14 months and 20% new French oak, coming in at 15% ABV. Well, the color is a really nice dark Bing cherry color. It's beautiful to look at.
It's opaque garnet.
Mm-hmm. On the nose for me, I got purple. A lot of
it's purple.
Herb, it's
purple. Red.
Spices, a little menthol. It's got a lovely nose.
A lot of black fruit on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I missed the black
Couldn't
fruit.
Couldn't really identify it's there. Which
I get more
fruit.
Eucalyptus than menthol on this one.
Really?
Yeah, eucalyptus. I agree.
Well, I'm going to go back to that because I think you're right. I think menthol is just too overbearing and pungent. Eucalyptus is definitely.
It's freaking beautiful.
Right? Ooh.
It's really a nice wine.
It is. Lovely. And I definitely get the spices and the cinnamon. And the eucalyptus, of course, on the palate. It's soft. It's got some gentle tannins. It's got a really...
So gentle.
It's what?
Gentle.
Gentle tannins. And a nice medium finish. It's a lovely wine. It's delicious. It's Let's like, drink
it's
some
like
more.
One of those suede cat of nine tails. Oh, wait, that's wrong.
What'd you think, Maury?
Well,
moving on.
Let me try to elevate this discussion out of the gutter. I think it's a lovely wine. I really enjoyed it very nicely. It definitely has some dominance of thyme and eucalyptus and herbal qualities to the palate, which I kind of like. It was not really particularly fruit forward. I agree with you, Denise. The tannins were gentle and soft and well integrated. I think it's a really lovely wine. It's really improved nicely with some air in the glass. When we first poured it, it was a little bit more closed, but it's just opened up beautifully.
We aerated this too. I think we used the Venturi.
Yeah, we did.
I even carried this one for sure. Mm-hmm. For all of us. What do you think, Harm?
I think you guys have said it. This is it. Black fruit and spices on the nose. I get plum and fig.
I think for the price, the value is fantastic. Yeah,
this used to be a $50 wine back in the day. These days, it's close to $30.
Yeah, it's a reasonably priced wine. I think you could, you know, not be embarrassed about it anywhere. It's drinking beautifully. It's well-rounded. It's not offensive. There's really nothing to offend anybody. Beautifully made.
This is their cheap stuff. Numantia makes the Termez. They make Numantia Termez, which is their, like, you know, $60 to $100, I think. I can't remember the name, price point of that. And then they make Termantia, which is over $200. So this is the cheap one, and it's still freaking great.
Well, it's much more approachable now. The problem with their higher end wines is they need a lot of time.
Wait 10 years.
You need to buy them and lay them down for a very long time, not to mention decant and aerate. And this did well with just a few minutes of air. Bob?
Well, when they asked if I'd like to do this one, you know, to send us a sample, I told them, I said, you know, do you know this one? I said, I know this one very well because this is one of the, you know, dozen or so wines that is kind of a daily drinker around here in the house. And I can still remember the first time.
You drink a dozen daily?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Somebody's got to. You know, it's a really great wine for the money. That's the thing that I love about it. You're getting some serious flavor. You're getting some serious tone. And you're getting a really good quality wine for, you know, not, you know, a large amount of money. It's something you can afford to keep in the house and drink whenever you feel like it. So that was a slam dunk for me when they said they wanted to send it. Do you know it? Yeah, I know
it. You're gonna send this wine.
Yeah. I can give you the tasting notes out of my head. So that's an easy one. But again, it's dark black fruit. It's got that herbally thyme note to it. It's got some lovely soft mouthfeel to it. It's got great backbone. The tannins aren't really, really right up in your face, which is the thing that I like about it. You know, it's a good, solid, honest wine for the money. If you see it on the shelf, definitely grab one. And we're going to be rating that a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover. Avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
That guy's still
around. Hey, and we're back, and we are talking about some wines. Apparently, Morty's talking about something else. Talking about some wines. We just finished talking about the Termez from Numantia. We gave that a well-deserved Termez. 3 sips. Don't make me get up and slap you.
Is it Termez? Like Hermes? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think Hermes on the label.
I think it's Termez, right. Like Hermes.
Don't care. Termez rhymes with Hermes.
Hermes.
Don't care. Termez. Good wine, solid value. So we're going to go on to our next wine, and we're going to have Morty tell us about that one.
Thank you, Sir Bob. The next wine will be the Bella Union 2017 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. The cornerstone of this blend is their 25-acre vineyard in Rutherford, along Bella Oaks Lane. The vineyard is planted primarily with Cabernet Sauvignon in well-drained loam, and the vines range from 20 to 30 years of age. Classic varietals of Malbec, Cabernet Franc, and Petit Verdot, sourced from select Napa Valley vineyards, complete the blend. We don't have the exact nature of the blend, but understand that there's a little bit of those blending grapes in it. It's got a beautiful color. It is dark and purple and inky and opaque. I love the color. It's just a beautiful
color.
It's
not as dark as
your heart.
It's not my heart. Okay, there you go. Go ahead.
No, he doesn't have a heart. You're talking about his soul.
Mm-hmm. On the nose, get a little cherry cola, a little anise, a little baking spice. It's got a nice nose. It's not the most extravagant nose I've had, but I like it. On the palate, black cherry, blueberry, very fruity, hints of cola.
Coca-Cola.
Spit it out. Yeah, cocoa.
Okay.
It's lovely. It's got a nice medium to long finish. It's a beautiful Cabernet. It's one of my favorites of the day so far. I really can't say enough good things about this wine. It's just a classic, varietally correct, to quote Harmeet, Napa Valley Cabernet. It definitely needed some air. We aerated this. We let it sit in the glass. Made a big difference. It's warmed up nicely to room temperature. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Denise?
Maury?
What do you think?
It's hard to follow that, but I just think that it is so crazy and so great that cherry cola is on the nose of this. It's just so fun. And so I could just nose this for a really long time. I love that.
Often I get those cherry cola notes on Zinfandel. But this is still cab. You can tell this is cab. There's no messing around.
Right.
This is
right. Cab. You just don't get the pepper. So the pepper's removed like in a Zinfandel, and then you get this cherry cola. Love blueberries. So the blueberries shine through for me. The cocoa is there. Love the tannins and the medium finish. It sort of just lingers in your mouth. And I really like that. So I'm really enjoying this wine, especially as the morning has gone on and it's opened up a little bit in the glass.
I think you're absolutely right. What do you think about the finish, though?
I like the finish. I do. It sort of lingers.
What struck me, now, besides the cherry cola note, and the cherry's there. It's big. Yeah. But on the palate, blueberries. This
absolutely.
Is more blue fruit.
Yeah.
Blue. Right?
This is all blue fruit.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. So I love the nose. I love it.
Minerality.
The taste.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just getting better. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I love the mouthfeel. It starts out silky soft.
Definitely.
And then the tannin comes in. It gives you a good grip. You know you're drinking wine with ageability, right?
Right.
You got a little something to chew on. This will definitely improve for quite some time to come. I mean, this is young. This is a 2017. It's barely coming into its own.
So, I'm not complaining that we didn't get any oysters today. I mean, that was, Bob and Denise.
Why not? Complain.
Good morning, Denise.
Complain. We
should have had some oysters, but you know what? Bob, would it kill you to grill a steak? Would it kill you to grill a steak before we get here?
Would it kill you to help source wines for a wine show? Just saying.
Oh, ouch.
Dagger.
No, this is a lovely wine. Again, great nose, dark cherries, baking spice. On the palate, everything that you want from your classic cab. I mean, it's so well put together. It's real soft up the front, but the palate just blooms in the back when the tannin hits. That's the really amazing part. I think given the couple of more years in the cellar sitting in the bottle, this thing is going to just get better and better and better.
Can you pass the bottle?
Yeah, of course. Here, which you want the 2017, not the 18?
I want the good stuff.
So we are going to give
the next one, my friend.
We are going to give the Bella Union 2017 Napa Valley Cab a well-deserved 4 sips.
Yay!
That's classified. Hey, look.
So let's move on to the next one, and let's see if Harm can actually make it through this.
This is the good one. All right. Now I don't disagree with anything we've said about Bob. 4 sips or anything like that, but Napa. But Rutherford is its own AVA within Napa, and Rutherford has a distinct tannin structure that's more dusty, and this is it right here. So this is another one that's inky almost. It's a beautiful, deep, rich ruby, opaque as hell. The nose is cherry and espresso, spice and pencil lead. As this set early on, there was no pencil. Now
you've been telling me you need some more lead in your pencil. I can help with that.
Oh yes, we're not doing another commercial, are we?
No, I'm just letting you know that I can help you off the air for lead in your pencil.
Your opinion, man.
So as this sat earlier on when we first poured, it was all about the cherries, and then I got the espresso. Now as it's sitting, pencil lead and menthol coming out. And the tannins on this, what makes sense. That's all on the palate. So let's have a sip.
Shut up. Suppress your defecation.
Chew that wine. The tannins are velvety soft. And then they grip in there after the fruit comes out. Red cherries. A little bit of blueberry like the last one, but more darker fruit. A little fig, a little cocoa. That dusty earth that you get in Rutherford. And the finish is longer here than the last one.
Yep.
Even though this is an 18, not a, and I think this needs more time in the bottle.
Yeah, it's almost a crime to be drinking this right now.
Yeah. The other one is more drinkable today. This one has got miles to go, and I think will continue to evolve for a long time.
And just think about it. It's this good now. It's only going to get better.
Bob.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Yeah.
Bob, you tell me. What are your notes? Tell me. What am I wrong? What's going on here?
Red cherries, raspberries.
I don't get the raspberries.
That dusty mineral, again, Rutherford, that I do so of. And again, it starts out velvety until that tannin grabs you by the back of the palate and just throws you on the ground and just knocks you senseless. This thing in a couple of years is going to just be, this one's going to knock your head off. I think the Napa one also is going to just continue to improve.
Napa is sweeter. This is dustier.
But I think this one in particular, this is more my palate. I think that give this about 4 or 5 years in the cellar and this thing is going to be absolutely off the charts.
I'm thinking Wagyu beef with this next time.
I'm thinking Wagyu beef with Kool-Aid. I'm thinking, are you kidding? Wagyu beef with pond water.
I want some well-marbled beef with this wine.
Oh, this with a steak would be, I mean, even as it is right now, this with a steak would be off the chain. I mean, this is really, really fantastic. I can't say enough good stuff about it. So
yeah, the difference between these two wines reminds me of going from a regular cab to a reserve cab. This is definitely needs a little more time. It's definitely a little bit more tannic and is going to continue to evolve into something really spectacular, but it's a little young. It's almost unfair, as Harm said, to open it now.
It was literally a crime to open this, but we have to open it to do the show. So I would have, when I saw these, I desperately want to just stick them in the back of the closet and let them sit for another couple of years. But
I haven't even seen any Bella Union in Florida. I know they're I know they are selling it, but
yeah, I haven't seen it either, Harm. That's a good point.
It's owned by Farniente. I sell Farniente. I sell the Nicola Nickel. I sell the Dolce and some of their other wines, but I've never seen the Bella Union here in Florida. Maybe it might be restaurant only right now.
Well, I got to find me a restaurant then, because this stuff is fantastic. And again, it's only going to get better. So we're going to be rating the Bella Union 2018 Rutherford Cab Sauvignon, a well-deserved 4 sips.
Classified.
If this was 24 months later, this thing would be 5+.
It's going in the right direction for sure.
If you see a bottle of this, grab it. If you see a bottle of the Napa, grab it.
I'm trying to find prices online. This seems to be very reasonable.
Yeah, stick them both in your cellar.
So it's under $100, right?
Yeah, about $80 for the 18 Rutherford and about 60 for this
wine of this caliber. This is nothing.
Yeah. We're going to have Denise tell us about our last wine for the day.
Happy to do so. It's actually my favorite of the morning. So we're going to drink and taste. The Don Melchor is a legacy wine from Chile, first created in 1987 by I hope I pronounced this correctly, Julie Sosti.
Close enough.
Julia Sosti family of Concha y Toro, and named for their forefather in Chilean wine. Don Melchor was created to be the singular expression of the Puente Alto vineyard in the upper Maipo Valley, overseen by winemaker Enrique Torrado since 1995.
They make another one from that vineyard called Carmen de Puemo. The best freaking wine I've had from Chile.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay. The 7 parcels of Don Melchor are harvested independently to support over 150 micro vinifications in the cellar, each then tasted and selected for the final composition. The second vintage of Don Melchor, 1988, was the first Chilean wine to be named to Wine Spectator's Top 100 Wines of the World, where it has since placed 9 times, including 3 placements in the top 10. Not too shabby. Don Melchor 2018, coming in at 14.5% ABV. The unique weather conditions in 2018 allowed the team at Don Melchor to showcase this latest release with a blend of all 4 Bordeaux varieties planted in Puente Alto. with a blend of 91% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Cabernet Franc, 3% Merlot, and 1% Petit Verdot. The vintage was warmer than average, but unlike 2017, a more even distribution of rainfall allowed for steady maturation of multiple varieties, harvested by hand between March and May 2018. This is beautiful in the glass. It is a deep, dark garnet color. So beautiful to look at. The nose, it is really fruit forward for me. It's just big, plump, red fruit. I love that. I get the same on the palate. I get deep, dark cherries. It's got a great mouthfeel. The tannins are really nicely balanced, and it's got a really pleasant, long finish. For me, definitely I'm ready for the steak. I want to drink more of this wine. Again, it's my favorite of the morning, and I will open the table to any and all comers who want to talk about this. Maury, you're staring me down.
No, I'm just drinking up every word.
That was his sultry look. He was trying to seduce you.
It's not working.
Yeah, that was
not
weird.
I was drinking up every word. I thought you did a very nice job describing this wine.
I thought you were having a seizure.
I think that I love the fact that it's got all the Bordeaux varietals, but it's definitely a new world. I mean, you do not get this kind of depth and intensity and extraction out of old world wines.
Now they tend to be more restrained, more elegant.
But this has got a very high percentage of Cabernet, which you don't see as much in Bordeaux. I love this wine. I think it's opened up nicely. It's really needed air. And I'm glad we Venturied it to air it a little bit. We've given it some time in the glass. Everything else you've said about it is really spot on. It's a delicious wine. My only lament is not having a big fat juicy steak to go with it right about now.
We come here and we complain that we drink free wine and Bob doesn't give us dinner. That's us.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
I'm grateful. Why not?
But it's you know, early in the morning.
Well, I'm thankful that they sent us this year because we did the Don Melchor last year, the 2017, and it was fantastic.
And this one is no slouch. It's different.
And we were also lucky enough to be invited. They had a Don Melchor dinner where we got to meet the winemaker down in Miami about a year and a half ago. And, you know, fantastic. We got to try some of the older vintages. We had one it wasn't the inaugural year, but I think it was the second or third year after that. So we got to taste some really deep stuff out of their cellar. And, oh, my God, it was just so fantastic. This year is... you know, no slouch. It is, you know, I didn't expect anything different from them, considering all the ones that we've had from them. It did not disappoint. It is a fantastic wine. It hits every point that you're looking for when you're looking for something like this. I mean, the body is there, the mouthfeel is there, the fruit is there. It's got a magnificent color to it. And again, this is another one that I think it's honestly almost a crime that we're opening it now because, you know, in 5 to 7 years, this thing is just going to absolutely blow your head off. It's already doing it now. So imagine giving it more time.
Mario was talking about some of the Bordeaux style, less in your face, more elegant. This wine will last 10, 15, 20 years and you can drink it then and get the more elegance out of it.
Mm. I agree. But I love it. This is my style. I like them young. I like them fruity. A lot of... A lot of intensity.
This is going in a very interesting direction I hadn't expected.
Young and fruity.
I think this is delicious.
Yeah, you got to watch him when he goes to those trips to South Beach. Anyway, I have to make a correction here. I said that Carmen de Poimo was... this is not the same vintage. Carmen de Poimo is his own village in Cachagua. Puente Alto is in Maipo. It's Chilean, also made a Constituteur. The Carmen de Poimo I was talking about is the Carmenere. That's 100% Carmenere made by Constituteur, their high-end wines. If you want to spend $200 on a bottle of Carmenere, there you are. But this wine is not that expensive. It's not over $200 or it's just over $100, I believe. Or some, I think maybe sub $100 now.
Right? No, sure. I think it's about $1.50.
Is it? Yeah.
Not sure.
You can get some of the vintages under $100, but frankly, it's just stunning. What I really took away from this is the mouthfeel.
This particular one's about $110.
The mouthfeel is so good.
Yeah, it's just it hits all the points. So
We're rating the Don Melchor 2018 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Another. And we gave last year's 5 sips. So, I mean.
Well, the finish on this
they're consistent.
Is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the follow or subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google to play podcasts, Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@SipSudsAndSmokes. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at SipSudSmoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You also get to interact with all the thousands of other fans on these social media platforms. You can also check us out on Instagram at SipSudsAndSmokes or at MainManBob. Do us a favor and please take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
You can also tell us why we're wrong.
You can also check out Maury and myself on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Denise.
Oh, thank you. Glad we had this chat.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. The wines are fantastic. I'm really thankful, though, I don't have to drink the juice that Harmeet crushed with his dirty feet.
Mm.
I wash my feet before I get in the tub, Bob. I mean, why? Whatever. I've been drinking.
Whatever your name is.
I thank him, but I'm over him right now. So, yeah.
You can thank me too, Brent. Bob.
Bob. Whatever your name is.
Yeah.
Just go down the whole list there, Harmeet.
There's a bunch of white guys in the room. Bunch of white guys. I can't tell who's who.
Aye. There's no help with this guy.
No, listen, thanks for having me anyway. I want to thank you. The wines are good. Thanks.
Yeah, you can't beat a good day like this with good wine. So
a little smell of toe cheese.
For Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And we didn't drink any bad wine today.
Nope. Not at all.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.